My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Brandon Scott and John Lopez here live from Texans Training Camp. Texans just got off the practice field, and we are happy and proud to be joined by the reigning NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, Houston Texans defensive end, second year, Will Anderson Jr. Will, we got to ask you, man, first of all, how are you doing? And what do you look forward to most at a time like this? When y'all come out here, I know it's the second day, y'all reported yesterday, but out here practicing, man, what do you look forward to most when you come out here, man?
Yeah, first, I just want to say thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Man, I'm feeling blessed and highly favored, man. And, you know, just being back out here with the team, man, and just building that foundation, that's what I'm looking forward to the most, building that team camaraderie, man, that togetherness, that brotherhood, man. So when Sunday get here, we can just go fly around, man. And I think right now is an important time to build those relationships, to get that team chemistry.
Look, man, there's so much hype around this team. Yeah. And I know Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, players themselves are like, we got to block that out. We got to block that out. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So how do you handle it? And I know you guys have expectations, too.
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
Man, our expectation is just to be us, man. Just to be us, to have fun, man. And like I said, build that foundation and build that building. And everybody come together, everybody putting their head down and working. That's our expectation. Mm-hmm. And we can't worry about the outside noise.
Well, how much of it, though, and I was talking to Lopez about this before you got here, it feels like the outside noise. This is just me telling you this. It feels like the outside noise and the internal expectations should marry up, because this is just logic, Will.
Yeah.
The type of season that you had last year, the type of season that CJ had last year, all of the additions that y'all made. Yeah. How much does it feel like, you know, internally, like the standard has kind of not necessarily changed, but been raised a little bit based off of y'all's success that you've already had?
Yeah, I would put it this way. I would say the standard is the standard. Mm-hmm. Once the standard is set, there's no changing the standard. Once the expectation is set, there's no changing the expectation. Last year was last year. We know what we have to build off of. And it was times last year that we didn't play to the standard and we didn't play to the expectation. And the goal this year is to always remain at that standard and remain at that expectation.
Do you guys do what we do? Because we were kidding off the air about how yesterday we were talking. It's like the first day of school, man. Oh, look at so-and-so, look at so. Like, I do it. I saw Kenyon Green looking good. You look like you've changed your body a little bit. I mean, do players do that?
Yeah, of course. I think when everybody came back in, it was like, dang, bro, you don't swole it up. You don't got skinny or you don't lost some weight. But it's just good to see the team, man. It really just shows how hard people were working this offseason and how much it means to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me what the difference in an offseason. I know the standard is the standard. Yeah. But going from, hey, I'm going into my rookie year to now I've at least established myself as a professional.
Yeah.
What's the difference in an offseason for already professional Will Anderson versus last year going into rookie season? Like, what did you learn and change about your offseason?
Yeah, I mean, last year I really didn't have an offseason just because, you know, the combine and everything like that. This year I was really fortunate to work with some great guys like Miles Garrett. He taught me a lot about how to take care of my body. The people that he worked with, they helped me out a lot too. So it was really just finding that great balance between getting rest, taking care of my body, putting the right nutrition in my body, getting the right type of work in around my position. I think that's one thing that I learned is how can I implement workouts that help my position and what I do on the field.
I remember late last year we had you on after the Tennessee game, and I was like, man, where'd that move come from? And you were kidding about it. You worked on it in practice. Yeah. All of a sudden, you put it on the game.
Yeah.
What did Miles Garrett and who else, you know, what are some of the things you picked up? Who else helped you, too?
Danielle Hunter's been a great help, man. Yeah. He loves working with us, man. This offseason, he's done a really good job of getting with us, man, and working our hands, working our moves and all that type of stuff, and just talking about angles. He does a really good job of using his hands, and I think that's one thing that I've taken away from him is just how useful he is with his hands and how he can change up his pass rush so much and get offensive linemen off guard.
I know you're out here working and focusing on getting better yourself, but when you get a moment, is there anybody out here, a teammate of yours, that you're a fan of, that you just like to watch or key in on when you get a chance to do so?
Yeah, I would say Rio. Mario, okay. His get off, everything. I love watching him work. He's a hard worker, man.
Mario Edwards, that is.
Yes, Mario Edwards. Yeah. He's a hard worker, man. I'm really excited to see him and play along with him and go to war with him.
So we're looking at the defense. A lot has been made about all these additions. I'm just looking at the edge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you, Daniil, you mentioned. Nico. Jerry Hughes is coming back.
Yeah,
I mean, just from the edges, what you guys can do. Forget the goals. I'm saying what you guys can do to an offense.
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, Coach had asked me what I think the standard was in the room, and I said, man, it's more than a statistic. Mm-hmm. We can get to the statistic by these three things. And I said, impose your will. Don't be denied what you want and wreak havoc. Yeah. And those are the three things that we want to live by in the D-line room.
Oh, you mentioned Coach. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
But you mentioned Coach, and it just reminded me.
Mm-hmm.
You were coming off a rookie year, albeit rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. And D'Amico's running around here saying, hey, if you want to follow somebody, follow that dude right there. That, first of all, that's got to be, you know, feel pretty good.
Yeah.
But what is it about you that you're now becoming a leader? You're becoming an example.
Yeah. For me, man, it's just being who God's called me to be and being a blessing and being a servant. And he's blessed me with that trait to be able to lead and be able to help people along the way. And I take pride in that. And I take pride in knowing that I know what's right and I want to help others get to know what's right and help continue to build this culture and do what's right around the building.
It's kind of going with that, though. And I know y'all don't want to focus on the outside noise and the external pressure. That's stuff that you want to kind of blind yourself to. But there is a buzz and excitement. I think one thing that stood out to me about the way you guys talked last year, and particularly CJ, was how surprising it was for some of you guys to come from high-profile college places to come here and see that the excitement, you didn't necessarily feel it, that first home game against Indianapolis, and then by the end of the year, it's there. You're going into the season with that. Yeah. Aside from, like, hype necessarily, or hey, they're going to win this many games and all of that, how does it feel to actually have been the guys to have brought that anticipation back to the squad?
Yeah, I think it's a blessing, but I think it's a collective effort. You know, we're not who we are without the people in the building, the players, the staff, everybody. And we just want the city to be back on fire. You know, we talk about, you know, this just as much as this is for us, it's for the city as well. And we want them to be a part of something special, and we want them to be able to talk about the Texans and have fun and talk crap to other teams and stuff like that. So, man, we really want to put on for the city and have that excitement back in Houston.
Speaking of high-profile colleges, what the heck is Nick Saban not picking the Tide for, man?
Rat poison. Yeah. Rat poison.
Did you see that, man?
He's feeding us rat poison.
Look, he's feeding y'all rat poison. He's feeding the media rat poison, and he's trying to get the guys at Alabama.
That's what I was going
to
say.
He's trying to get the guys at Alabama to keep playing hard and keep doing what they need to do to get back
there. Is he coaching them without coaching them?
Most definitely.
You know what I mean? Like doing something to kind of motivate. Because, you know, there's plenty of guys there that play for Nick still.
Yeah.
Got relationships still.
Yeah.
So to me, there was maybe a
little ulterior motive there, a little something behind the science there, man.
Yeah, I most definitely think it was just to keep them going. Yeah. I most definitely think he's like, I'm not there no more, but I'm going to talk some crap and see how y'all respond. Either y'all can respond the right way or y'all can just do y'all thing.
Okay, okay, but he's doing his job.
He's in media now. That's what he has to.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the other side. Now you got to have the takes.
All right, we got a couple more here. I know you got to go to the podium, but let's talk about your most important thing that happened this offseason. Forget Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
You caught a 6-pound bass?
Yes, sir.
Where?
Lake Conroe.
You went to Lake
Shout
Conroe.
Shout out to Lake Conroe.
I got up at, look, I got up at 3 a.m. I got up at 3 a.m. Me and my sister rode to Lake Conroe around 4. We met our guide there, and he took us out, man. And we probably caught about 20 pounds. That was our
of all the fish. Yeah.
So we probably caught 20 pounds, but I hit my PB and hit a 6-pounder.
Dude, what'd you throw?
We was on
only us nerds would care about that.
Carolina rig.
Carolina rig. All right. And then the other thing is, and this is just some of the noise that they want you to block out. But boy, it gets you thinking. There's a lot of talk about J.J. Watt out there, man. What does it feel like in the locker room when you hear people say, well, J.J., he's not denying anything. Oh, J.J., you know, D'Amico says I might make that call. Yeah. I mean, D'Amico said it.
Yeah.
You were there at the softball.
Yeah, we were there. D'Amico said it.
When the headline was made, I mean, how does it register?
Man, it would be crazy to have him back out here, man. But he does a really good job of sticking around and being around to get to know us, to see how we are. And I think it might be a possibility. I don't know.
Hey, man, you don't have to tell me twice.
Could you imagine, though, like the different kind of sets that y'all could run, like the personnel that y'all could put out there?
Crazy.
If you added him into the mix. Because y'all are dynamic enough already. And that's not just to build you up because you're sitting here.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. But you add that into the mix, man. We're talking about something totally different. Will Anderson joining us here live from the practice. But I want to ask you about competition.
Yeah.
One of the cliches, but it's true, that y'all use a lot is iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
Tell me about that, the competition and how that works. Like, how much back and forth is there? Y'all got some elite players on both sides of the ball at the line, you know, between yourself, Daniil, obviously. You got Laramie Tunsil and Titus on the other side. What is that dynamic like? Are y'all the iron sharpening iron? Y'all talking trash? Y'all giving each other pointers? How does it work between y'all?
A little bit of both, man. I think competition, it goes with, you know, we talk a little trash here and there, but at the end of practice, we always get together in a group and we talk about what we did or what we seen or how you can beat this and how did I beat you on this rep. And it just makes you better, because I honestly think the guys that we have on our offensive line are some of the best guys in the league that we're going to see going into the season. And, you know, iron sharpens iron is just a phrase from the Bible, and we're all big on our faith, and we believe that strongheartedly, and we know that once we come out here and we compete and we go against the best, then we become the best.
Last thing from me anyway.
Yeah.
That is, you've got the pedigree. We talked about Alabama and all that. A lot of guys on this team have a very good pedigree.
Yeah.
You are facing some really good players on offense.
Yes.
Like, what that does for you guys as a defense. Forget what you're doing for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing for you.
Yeah.
What's that like? What the offense is doing to help.
Oh, yes, most definitely. They do everything. And they do a lot of stuff that we're going to see this year. But having, like, it's just crazy. Having to go against somebody like CJ, having to go against somebody like Joe Mixon, having to go against somebody like Diggs, Nico, Tank, Mechie, our O-line, Shaq, Titus, LT, like, all of the stuff they do is to make us better, and they're phenomenal athletes at what they do. They're the greatest at their position at what they do, man.
Yeah.
And it just gives this defense so many looks to help us to prepare the right way to get ready for Sunday.
How good can Derek Stingley be this year?
To me, he's already there. Like, I think the world of Derek Stingley. Like,
you preach to the choir.
He makes you laugh.
No other cornerback that I would rather have than Derek Stingley, man. He helps us so much, makes my job easier, makes this team job easier, man. I can rave about Derek. He comes in, head down, works hard, and he loves football, and he's the greatest.
I'm sorry. No. One just occurred because I'm looking at you. You gave us every indication you were going to change your number. You gave us every indication.
I forgot about this.
You were going to change
Vegas.
Your number. What happened, man? What went into it? Was there a battle?
I'll tell you what happened. He's a made man. Now he's Will Anderson Jr. over here. And 51 look a lot better now than he did when he first got it. And that's what it is. Tell me I'm lying.
We talked to you after the season, and you gave us every indication.
Nah, he's a made man
right
now.
Listen,
I played defensive line, so I couldn't go to a number that I wanted.
Okay.
So if I was a linebacker, I could have. But then I was like, dang, I just made 51, so I might as well stick with it. It was the same as college. Like, they gave me 31. I was like, man, what the world? And then I made it.
31 was crazy.
And then I made it. So I was cool.
So that's that.
Yeah.
Rest of your career.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of numbers.
Yeah.
Lopez mentioned this earlier. Number zero out there. Aziz Alshaik.
Yep.
I need you to tell me about this, Kat, because everybody ran some raves about him. Yeah. You have before. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it again. What is he going to add to this team specifically?
What we've been missing, man, he's that key piece in the middle of that defense that he has that mentality to take over. He gets everybody lined up. He loves football. He works hard, man, and he cares about his teammates. Like, he makes sure we're all good. He always checks on us, man, and that's the type of people that we have to have on this team, and he sets the example every day by everything that he does in the building, from the time he gets here, from the time he leaves, and I can't say enough good things about him, man. I'm so happy he's here.
That's Will Anderson Jr., the reigning NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, joining
us. Good insight from you,
man.
Today.
I'm telling you, live on In the Loop, man. Hey, Will, we wish you all the success in the world. Hope y'all achieve it. Whatever your goals are, man, we hoping you achieve them.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all for having me.
Thanks, man, for being here, man.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And look, that is Will Anderson joining us here from the practice field. That was pretty good, Lopez. I mean, I don't know if it gets too much better than that to get a star like that live from the and to think, like you said, God loves the Texans. God loves this show, because to think we almost didn't get that, man.
We almost, if it wasn't for God.
Almost didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this right now, just to kind of react to that, and we'll hear from Will Anderson again later on in the show if you missed that, and we'll react to it some more. But I'm going to give you this right now, Lopez.
Yeah.
That question on Aziz Alshaik, he said what we've been missing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not about to take a shot against anybody that's not here anymore, but just notice that he's saying we didn't have a guy like this before.
Yeah, they made a guy like that.
Yeah, we figured it out. We had some guys, and we figured it out on defense. We had a team and accomplished some things on defense, but we didn't have a guy like this, a leader in the middle of the defense like this that we have now. I don't think he had to word it like that, and he did it on purpose, man. That is going to be a noticeable difference, at least for me, something I'll be watching out for this defense.
Yeah, and Will Anderson, if you don't know already, you certainly picked it up in that interview. Not only just a different level of player from last year, he's even improved his game off the field. He just looks even more sculpted. He's very candid. He's going to be, if not already, he's going to be one of, if not the most liked player on this squad, not named C.J. Stroud.
Did you notice also how, with a childlike grin on his face, mm-hmm. he did concede that he thinks the J.J. Watt thing is a possibility?
I already tweeted it.
Dude, there are people that are somewhat annoyed by the conversation because they don't think it's going to happen. I don't know what else we need to do or how many more people need to speak to this for y'all to be convinced that this is a possibility. He ain't going to show up and be out here working out at training camp or nothing like that.
Yeah.
But further down the line, put a pin in that, man. Keep your eye out for that. I think that is a very, very real possibility, and he wasn't just joking
The quote I tweeted was off the top of my head, so I may edit the tweet, but this was pretty damn close to what he said. I think it could happen. I don't know, but I think it could happen.
That's what I heard. I was sitting right here next to him, even closer to him. That's what I heard. And like I said, I couldn't help myself once he said it to be like, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Big old smile on his face,
I don't know exactly what J.J. has left in the tank, but if you're telling me he's just coming in for a fleeting moment in time,
yeah,
I feel good about that. You telling me I'm not relying on him for a 16, 17 game season or stretch, I'm just relying on him for a spurt or for him to be like a reliever, somebody out of the bullpen, certain passing situations, down and distance situations.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, we're focused right now on training camp and the guys that are out there, but that did stand out to me on how he responded to that question.
Yeah, and boy, you thought the wheels were spinning before. When J.J., didn't really, he's tweeting pictures and all that stuff. And
yeah.
Best shape I've been in and football training. And then D'Amico has the opportunity to just, shoot it all down. And he goes, I might make that call. And then now Will Anderson, talking about how he's been around and it could happen. I mean, boy, it's just going to go off the charts now.
I know I didn't bring this up when he was here, but you did, Lopez, actually, when you asked about the moves that he added toward the end of the season.
Yeah.
And what did guys like Myles Garrett and Danielle Hunter, who he mentioned, what did they teach him? I don't feel like I can overstate the difference between early Will Anderson, who didn't really have many moves and counters, versus Will Anderson toward the end of the season, who did have some. And the Will Anderson that I'm anticipating and that I'm truly excited about, Lopez, to see what else he has added. In addition to what we saw at the end of the year, like, we started seeing some spin moves.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he didn't have that earlier in his bag.
No, we asked him about it.
So he will have added that toward the end of the season and added even more in the offseason. I cannot wait to see what that looks like in practice on the field when he gets out there, man.
Let's not downplay this as well, which he said. Right here on Sports Radio 610 and SportsRadio610.com on YouTube. He's working with Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, you have to realize from Myles Garrett's perspective, he's not going to work with someone that he doesn't think is going to be able to play at that level. Some chump.
Yep.
He might have him out there, whatever. But working with Myles Garrett, working with Danielle Hunter, a year under his belt, already at the end of last year, we saw him developing a couple of moves that we hadn't seen for the first 8-10 games. I'm very interested to see, what he can do, having kind of been tutored by one of the greatest in history.
Yeah, Myles Garrett, what is he learning from Myles Garrett? And then also, the Danielle Hunter influence, the Danielle Hunter influence on Will Anderson Jr., I think, is going to be one that's significant, on top of the fact of having him as a player like the edge rushers. And I actually did want to ask him about the interior defensive line. We only had so much time with him, and we wanted to have fun on top of the football part, and we always want to do that. But I'm very much interested in seeing how these guys work together, what the impact is. I asked Nick Caserio about this earlier in the day in terms of, hey, what were you looking to see change from the defensive line? Because think about it like this.
Yeah.
The only starter that's returning is Will Anderson.
Yeah.
And that was like a no bleep obvious returning guy. Like, obviously, Will Anderson's coming back. Yeah. Everybody else is gone.
Which is
like,
weird, right?
I thought that Nick downplayed it a little bit in his answer to me, mm-hmm. and saying, oh, that's just kind of the nature of the business of how rosters turn around. But I thought it was a conscious decision to not pay Jonathan Grenard the money that they did pay Danielle Hunter for less of, like, Jonathan Grenard got a 4-year contract. Yeah. Danielle Hunter got a 2-year contract with the same amount of guaranteed money for the most part.
Yeah.
That was a conscious decision by them.
I mean, by definition, it's a conscious decision.
Trading Malik Collins.
Yeah.
Trading Malik Collins and deciding that, you know what, whatever combination of Fadakasi and Tim Foley, like all these different guys, Mario Edwards, that was another interesting thing to hear Will Anderson mention Mario Edwards. Because that's not a
Rio.
Name. I don't think we've mentioned Rio at all, but to hear him talk about him, and I said, who are you a fan of? Who do you like to watch work? Like, I think that the interior is going to be something to really watch, and maybe they got more there. Nick seemed to downplay it a little bit, but one thing he did say is that he thinks they're deeper at that position than they thought. And I also want to see, hey, what's the depth at that position going to look like ultimately?
Yeah,
100%. John Lopez, Figgy Fig at the studio, Brandon Scott with you here on In the Loop as we talk to you live from Texans training camp. Coming up next, you'll hear from all of the main players, man. So we heard from Nick Caserio earlier, D'Amico Ryans, Will Anderson. Texans training camp next on In the Loop.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
I got to hand it to you, Lopez. I got to hand it to you. You did mention through the build-up to training camp, which, again, by the way, we are live at Texans Training Camp. You did mention that you felt like the Texans weren't finished. The Texans weren't done adding to this team, and they've already been celebrated.
Yeah.
Talk about the rat poison. Talk about the external noise and pressure that they don't want to allow to be a focus for them. They've done so much already this offseason, but you said you don't think that they're done. You don't think that they're done just yet and that another move might be made. I think you might have been on to something, Lopez.
Well, part of it is don't give me too much credit. I mean, I'll take it. But part of it is just logic with this squad because of how training camps work and all that. So that's going to happen. The little moves are going to happen. I'm also thinking there might be a bigger move, you know, in play here. Because once training camp starts, and this was the logic behind me saying that, once we all can talk about it all we want. We can talk to people in that organization, and I have. And they feel the same thing we do. Now, no matter what Nick Caserio you're going to hear from says, no matter what D'Amico says about, you know, last year and all that, they know. They know their expectations.
The opportunity that's in front of them.
They know what. But once training camp starts, B. Scott, they start to see, okay, we are that team.
Yeah.
You know, it comes to life right in front of them, what they had projected for themselves. And they also know, boy, if we got this, then we're going to take that major step.
Maybe I'm giving you more credit than you deserve.
I said that.
Because you and I, you and I are actually thinking along.
I agree with you.
But that's what it is, though. I'm giving you credit because I agree with you. Because you and I are thinking along the same lines. And I think that we're thinking along the same lines as one Texans general manager Nick Caserio, because this is what he had to say when he was asked how he balances what he's watching out there on the field right now at Texans training camp versus what's also available to him out there in the free agency market.
No, it's a great question. We're actually looking at that pretty much every day. So there's different groups and categories of players. You probably have some, call it more established veterans, some of the better players. That's kind of one category of players, quite frankly. A lot of those players are kind of wait for something to happen, whether it's an injury or they're kind of waiting for the season to get a little bit closer so they have to go through training camp, which is fine. That's their prerogative. And then you kind of have another cohort of players, maybe some younger players who are more about camp depth and camp competition, some younger players. I mean, as an example, Malik Fisher, you know, a kid we signed there the other day who played in the UFL. So had a spring of football. So it's just kind of managing the roster. So Malik Fisher is a different caliber of player than maybe Ngakoue, just to pick a name, right? Somebody like that. So we look at that every day. Most teams do. You kind of have your sort of short list, emergency list sort of ready to go. But you're not going to be knee-jerk with your response. You want to see how your players kind of develop. And then once you get a little bit closer to the season, there's probably a player here that's not here right now that, as we get closer to the opener, maybe he ends up on a team like we did with Amendola, you know, a few years ago, whenever that was. So very fluid. There's no cookie-cutter approach on that, but you're certainly aware and cognizant of some of the other players that are out there and it might be available.
All right, so Lopez, I got a particular name in mind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put names on it.
We're going to name names?
And be very specific of who I have in mind. And this is not intel. I'm not saying that this is the name per se that Nick Caserio has in mind, even though he might, though he could. But the name that I've got in mind, when he talks about looking at that every day, it being a good question, something that we were standing right there, how he perked up when he got that question.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Justin Simmons, man. I understand.
You make me stand up
that
again.
The safety position, the starters at safety are back.
Yeah.
Their entire safety position is back, plus one. They drafted one who I actually am really excited about, and Kalen Bullock, somebody who I think can contribute to the team in some form or fashion. I understand that, and safety is not perceived to be a position of weakness for the Texans, but I do understand the opportunity of adding a player like Justin Simmons. It is odd to me that he is not signed, and so he fits along the lines of the type of player that Nick Caserio, with a smile, with a grin, described early on in that comment, early on in that cut that we just played, of a veteran player who maybe is waiting on something to happen, whether it be injury or just simply not wanting to play or to do training camp.
I mean, he said it. That was really the first. He gave the different levels of players that they're looking for.
Yeah.
And one is the obvious one, you know, other players cut from other teams or players still on the street that are sort of lower level.
This is one that's available to him now, though, in Simmons.
Right now.
Yeah.
And safeties have started a little bit to come off the board in terms of the ones that were available through free agency. But he also said evaluate. And that kind of talks about what I'm saying. Like, they are a team that – they know the expectations. They have their expectations, and they know how good they can be. Now it's coming to life on these practice fields that are right in front of us. He's going to look out there, and it might be the trigger, so to speak, that makes them pull the trigger on someone like Justin Simmons.
There is something about the Texans being this good that makes me want to play keep away with players like Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
It makes me want to, and I felt this way. I know there was a lot of disagreement on, like, bringing in Derrick Henry, but he was another one of those players during free agency where I was like, I don't care if you don't necessarily want Derrick Henry. What I don't want is Derrick Henry in Baltimore.
But that means you want him.
You know what I mean?
You think he's good enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so similar to this, CBS Sports has a list of potential destinations for Justin Simmons. And I got to say, man, I just as much as I'd like to see him in a Texans uniform, I'd also like to play keep away from teams like the Baltimore Ravens.
Absolutely.
Who are on this list, pairing him up with Kyle Hamilton. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
And on a Baltimore defense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to see that.
Well,
you know who else is on the list? The Indianapolis Colts. Could you imagine?
Good Lord.
He goes to one of your division rivals, and then the Colts at that, the only team that we actually really believe in the division, not named the Texans?
Yeah.
Those are things that I don't want to see, Lopez.
And it just makes sense. The Texans have acted from the moment last season ended, they've acted like a team that is all in this year, willing to spend, you know, the whole smart big money thing and all that stuff. You know, go get guys. Don't act like you can't have these guys, because this is the opportunity for C.J. Stroud. So you're telling me they're looking out there. And this is no disrespect to what Jimmy Ward is and might be. Obviously, Jalen Petrie's had some issues, but specifically at the safety position, someone like that. No disrespect. But Justin Simmons is better.
Yeah. Well, and this point has been made. We've made this point before, but I think it's worth reiterating that I think that Justin Simmons could play with a Jalen Petrie, right? Like, if you swap out, and again, no disrespect to Jimmy Ward, but if you end up swapping out one of those guys for the other, that being Simmons for Ward, you've upgraded at that position.
That's what I'm saying.
Just go look and compare either film, pelts on the wall, the accomplishments. So there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
And then as far as Jalen Petrie is concerned, that's somebody that I feel like he can still play with. Jalen Petrie's just going into his third year. You got him under contract for another year. There's no reason why bringing in a guy like that has to be an indictment on a player who we do hope bounces back this year.
Everything they're doing is let's win now, let's win big.
So you heard Will Anderson on with us earlier. I asked him about Derek Stingley, and he just kind of laughed like, man, are you serious? Like, this dude is already a dude. Derek Stingley is somebody who we've got to ask others about him, because Stingley will talk to us, but he just doesn't have a lot to say. He's not a big talker. So we rely on guys like Will Anderson, his teammates, and guys like Nick Caserio to talk about Derek Stingley. That's one of the players that I feel like we're more excited about or most excited about going into training camp, or as we are now here at training camp. This was Nick Caserio earlier today, which you could have heard right here on Sports Radio 610, when he was asked about the third-year cornerback.
Derek's in a good spot. He's had a really good offseason. He's worked hard. I mean, the reality is, regardless of the player, injuries are part of the game. Like, we don't control when they happen or if they're going to happen. Unfortunately, it's a part of it. I'm sure we're going to have to deal with something somewhere along the line. And really not much we can do about it. So I think the players, the big thing is, are you in condition? Do you have the right mindset? Are you ready to go? And then go out there and try to perform at an optimum level to give yourself the best opportunity to compete on Sunday. So that's where the focus is. Derek's a great kid. He's had a good offseason. He's worked hard. So we'll see how it goes here in training camp.
Man, if Derek Stingley is the shutdown corner that we anticipate that he is, and honestly that we've seen evidence that he can be, that to me is real. Like, that to me is something that the national pundits aren't really talking about enough, because the thing that you will hear them talk about is C.J. Stroud, is Will Anderson, the rookies from last year that are going into their second year now, and then all of the additions that they've made. But to me, the way I look at it, Lopez, is if you get Derek Stingley's first close to full healthy year that he's had since he was a freshman at LSU in 2019. If you get the first of that, that completely changes the dynamic and is a huge, huge, huge storyline for the Texans this
year. If you miss Will Anderson, you're going to hear him at 12:40. But let me just say this. He sat right there in front of us and said, I don't think there's another cornerback in the NFL that that's better than him.
Yeah,
I'm paraphrasing.
Understandable. That's his teammate, but it makes sense.
Is that good?
It passes the smell test,
and it's just health. I mean, it's just a matter of what the health is going to be like for Derek Stingley. But I almost acknowledge or just sort of concede he's going to be that good. I'm with Will Anderson and a lot of people on that. He is that good. Stay healthy.
Yeah, I've been on that ever since they picked him. I was Derek Stingley over Sauce when they picked him. It was looking a little rough there when Sauce is making all pros and Derek Stingley's playing however many games.
Don't disparage Sauce's name, man. He's still pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah. No. For me, it's more so about Derek Stingley and less about Sauce.
Yes.
It's about, hey, you had the number 3 overall pick, and this was the right move, 100%. So I'm excited about that. I think if Derek Stingley can just, man, if he could play 14 games, 15 games.
I'll take that.
You know what I mean?
I'll take that.
I will 100%
be ready
take
for
that.
The postseason.
He is John Lopez. I'm Brandon Scott here from Texans Training Camp. Coming up next, we play the hits on In the Loop.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Not a bigger hit out here than Texans training camp. In the Loop, broadcasting live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. And you heard from Nick Caserio earlier in the day. Heard from him in the previous segment. One of the things that really stood out to me, Lopez, that he said, and we knew this already or know this already about the Texans. Hell, it was evidenced last year by the way they threw C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson out there, had Tank Dell out there balling for him, the rookies. I am anticipating, Lopez, rookie contributions, rookies out here contributing to this team. It is not as heralded a rookie class because there isn't a first-round pick, but we talked a lot about Kamari Lassiter, talked a lot about the opportunity he's got. I'm bullish on Kalen Bullock. We've got Cade Stover out there. So, look, the rookie class is exciting. Nick Caserio this morning was asked exactly about that, the opportunity that the rookies have out here at training camp.
No, it's a great opportunity for them. So, honestly, we don't care where they come from, how they get here, what their level of experience is. D'Amico has talked about this. I mean, he enjoys coaching the rookies and seeing the rookies grow and develop more than coaching veterans. So we're not opposed to playing anybody. So rookie, 10th-year player, doesn't really matter who you are. If you're the best player, if you're the best option, and you've earned the opportunity with your performance, you're going to play. So there's no guardrails. So we go into it. We kind of start from scratch. We'll evaluate how the players perform with their opportunities, and then we'll put the players on the field that have earned that right. So just because they were drafted where they were drafted doesn't really matter. It's all about your performance. But
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
I got to hand it to you, Lopez. I got to hand it to you. You did mention through the build-up to training camp, which, again, by the way, we are live at Texans Training Camp. You did mention that you felt like the Texans weren't finished. The Texans weren't done adding to this team, and they've already been celebrated. Yeah. Talk about the rat poison. Talk about the external noise and pressure that they don't want to allow to be a focus for them. They've done so much already this offseason, but you said you don't think that they're done. You don't think that they're done just yet and that another move might be made. I think you might have been on to something, Lopez.
Well, yeah, part of it is, don't give me too much credit. I mean, I'll take it. But part of it is just logic with this squad because of how training camps work and all that. So that's going to happen. The little moves are going to happen. I'm also thinking there might be a bigger move, you know, in play here. Because once training camp starts, and this was the logic behind me saying that, once we all can talk about it all we want. We can talk to people in that organization, and I have. And they feel the same thing we do. Now, no matter what Nick Casario you're going to hear from says, no matter what D'Amico says about, you know, last year and all that, they know. They know their expectations.
The opportunity that's in front of them.
They know what. But once training camp starts, B. Scott, they start to see, okay, we are that team.
Yeah.
You know, it comes to life right in front of them, what they had projected for themselves. And they also know, boy, if we got this, then we're going to take that major step.
Maybe I'm giving you more credit than you deserve.
I said that.
Because you and I, you and I are actually thinking along.
I agree with you.
But that's what it is, though. I'm giving you credit because I agree with you. Because you and I are thinking along the same lines. And I think that we're thinking along the same lines as one Texans general manager, Nick Caserio, because this is what he had to say when he was asked how he balances what he's watching out there on the field right now at Texans training camp versus what's also available to him out there in the free agency market.
No, it's a great question. We're actually looking at that pretty much every day. So there's different groups and categories of players. You probably have some, call it more established veterans, some of the better players. That's kind of one category of players, quite frankly. A lot of those players are kind of wait for something to happen, whether it's an injury or they're kind of waiting for the season to get a little bit closer so they don't have to go through training camp, which is fine. That's their prerogative. And then you kind of have another cohort of players, maybe some younger players who are more about camp depth and camp competition, some younger players. I mean, as an example, Malik Fisher, you know, a kid we signed there the other day who played in the UFL, so had a spring of football. So it's just kind of managing the roster. So Malik Fisher is a different caliber of player than maybe Ngakoue, just to pick a name, right? Somebody like that. So we look at that every day. Most teams do. You kind of have your sort of short list, emergency list sort of ready to go. But you're not going to be knee-jerk with your response. You want to see how your players kind of develop. And then once you get a little bit closer to the season, there's probably a player here that's not here right now that, as we get closer to the opener, maybe he ends up on a team like we did with Amendola, you know, a few years ago, whenever that was. So very fluid. There's no cookie-cutter approach on that, but you're certainly aware and cognizant of some of the other players that are out there and it might be available.
All right, so Lopez, I got a particular name in mind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put names on it.
We're going to name names.
And be very specific of who I have in mind. And this is not intel. I'm not saying that this is the name per se that Nick Caserio has in mind, even though he might, though he could. But the name that I've got in mind, when he talks about looking at that every day, it being a good question, something that we were standing right there, how he perked up when he got that question.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Justin Simmons, man. I understand.
You make me stand up
that
again.
The safety position, the starters at safety are back.
Yeah.
Their entire safety position is back, plus one. They drafted one who I actually am really excited about, and Kalen Bullock, somebody who I think can contribute to the team in some form or fashion. I understand that, and safety is not perceived to be a position of weakness for the Texans, but I do understand the opportunity of adding a player like Justin Simmons. It is odd to me that he is not signed. And so he fits along the lines of the type of player that Nick Caserio, with a smile, with a grin, described early on in that comment, early on in that cut that we just played, of a veteran player who maybe is waiting on something to happen, whether it be injury or just simply not wanting to play or to do training camp.
I mean, he said it. That was really the first. He gave the different levels of players that they're looking for.
Yeah.
And one is the obvious one, you know, other players cut from other teams or players still on the street that are sort of lower level.
This is one that's available to him now, though, in Jen Simmons.
Right now.
Yeah.
And safeties have started a little bit to come off the board in terms of the ones that were available through free agency. But he also said evaluate. And that kind of talks about what I'm saying. Like, they are a team that – they know the expectations. They have their expectations, and they know how good they can be. Now it's coming to life on these practice fields that are right in front of us. He's going to look out there, and it might be the trigger, so to speak, that makes them pull the trigger on someone like Justin Simmons.
There is something about the Texans being this good that makes me want to play keep away with players like Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
It makes me want to, and I felt this way. I know there was a lot of disagreement on, like, bringing in Derrick Henry, but he was another one of those players during free agency where I was like, I don't care if you don't necessarily want Derrick Henry. What I don't want is Derrick Henry in Baltimore.
But that means you want him.
You know what I mean?
You think he's good enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so similar to this, CBS Sports has a list of potential destinations for Justin Simmons. And I got to say, man, I just as much as I'd like to see him in a Texans uniform, I'd also like to play keep away from teams like the Baltimore Ravens,
absolutely,
who are on this list, pairing him up with Kyle Hamilton. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
And on a Baltimore defense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to see that.
Well,
you know who else is on the list? The Indianapolis Colts. Could you imagine?
Good Lord.
He goes to one of your division rivals, and then the Colts at that, the only team that we actually really believe in the division, not named the Texans?
Yeah.
Those are things that I don't want to see, Lopez.
And it just makes sense. The Texans have acted from the moment last season ended, they've acted like a team that is all in this year, willing to spend, you know, the whole smart big money thing and all that stuff. You know, go get guys. Don't act like you can't have these guys, because this is the opportunity for C.J. Stroud. So you're telling me they're looking out there. And this is no disrespect to what Jimmy Ward is and might be. Obviously, Jalen Petrie's had some issues, but specifically at the safety position, someone like that. No disrespect. But Justin Simmons is better.
Yeah. This point has been made. We've made this point before, but I think it's worth reiterating that I think that Justin Simmons could play with a Jalen Petrie, right? Like, if you swap out, and again, no disrespect to Jimmy Ward, but if you end up swapping out mm-hmm. one of those guys for the other, that being Simmons for Ward,
yeah.
you've upgraded at that position.
That's what I'm saying.
Just go look and compare either film, pelts on the wall, the accomplishments. So there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
And then as far as Jalen Petrie is concerned, that's somebody that I feel like he can still play with. Jalen Petrie's just going into his third year. You got him under contract for another year. There's no reason why bringing in a guy like that has to be an indictment on a player who we do hope bounces back this year.
Everything they're doing is let's win now, let's win big.
So you heard Will Anderson on with us earlier. I asked him about Derek Stingley, and he just kind of laughed like, man, are you serious? Like, this dude is already a dude. Derek Stingley is somebody who we've got to ask others about him, because Stingley will talk to us, but he just doesn't have a lot to say. He's not a big talker. So mm-hmm. we rely on guys like Will Anderson, his teammates, and guys like Nick Caserio to talk about Derek Stingley. That's one of the players that I feel like we're more excited about or most excited about going into training camp, or as we are now here at training camp. This was Nick Caserio earlier today, which you could have heard right here on Sports Radio 610, when he was asked about the third-year cornerback.
Derek's in a good spot. He's had a really good offseason. He's worked hard. I mean, the reality is, regardless of the player, injuries are part of the game. Like, we don't control when they happen or if they're going to happen. Unfortunately, it's a part of it. I'm sure we're going to have to deal with something somewhere along the line. And really not much we can do about it. So I think the players, the big thing is, are you in condition? Do you have the right mindset? Are you ready to go? And then go out there and try to perform at an optimum level to give yourself the best opportunity to compete on Sunday. So that's where the focus is. Derek's a great kid. He's had a good offseason. He's worked hard. So we'll see how it goes here in training camp.
Man, if Derek Stingley is the shutdown corner that we anticipate that
yeah.
he is, and honestly that we've seen evidence that he can be, that to me is real. Like, that to me is something that the national pundits aren't really talking about enough, mm-hmm. because the thing that you will hear them talk about is C.J. Stroud, is Will Anderson, the rookies from last year that are going into their second year now, and then all of the additions that
yeah.
they've made. But to me, the way I look at it, Lopez, is if you get Derek Stingley's first close to full healthy year that he's had since he was a freshman at LSU in 2019,
yeah.
if you get the first of that,
mm-hmm.
that completely changes the dynamic and is a huge, huge, huge storyline for the Texans this
well,
year.
Well, if you miss Will Anderson, you're going to hear him at 12:40. But let me just say this. He sat right there in front of us and said, I don't think there's another cornerback in the NFL that's better than him.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
Understandable, that's his teammate, but it makes sense.
But he is that good.
It passes the smell test.
And it's just health. I mean, it's just a matter of what the health is going to be like for Derek Stingley. But I almost acknowledge or just sort of concede he's going to be that good. I'm with Will Anderson and a lot of people on that. He is that good. Stay healthy.
Yeah, I've been on that ever since they picked him. I was Derek Stingley over Sauce when they picked him. It was looking a little rough there when Sauce is making all pros and Derek Stingley's playing however many games.
Don't disparage Sauce's name, though, man. He's still pretty damn good.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No. For me, it's more so about Derek Stingley and less about Sauce.
Yes,
yes. It's about, hey, you had the number 3 overall pick, and this was the right move, mm-hmm. 100%. So I'm excited about that. I think if Derek Stingley can just, man, if he could play 14 games, 15 games.
I'll take that.
You know what I mean?
I'll take that.
I will 100%
be ready
take
for
that.
The postseason.
He is John Lopez. I'm Brandon Scott here from Texans Training Camp. Coming up next, we play the hits on In the Loop.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Not a bigger hit out here than Texans Training Camp. In the Loop, broadcasting live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. And you heard from Nick Caserio earlier in the day. Heard from him in the previous segment. One of the things that really stood out to me, Lopez, that he said, and we knew this already or know this already about the Texans. Hell, it was evidenced last year by the way they threw C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson out there, had Tank Dell out there balling for him, the rookies. I am anticipating, Lopez, rookie contributions, rookies out here contributing to this team. It is not as heralded a rookie class because there isn't a first-round pick, but we talked a lot about Kamari Lassiter, talked a lot about the opportunity he's got. I'm bullish on Kalen Bullock. We've got Cade Stover out there. So, look, the rookie class is exciting. Nick Caserio this morning was asked exactly about that, the opportunity that the rookies have out here at training camp.
No, it's a great opportunity for them. So, honestly, we don't care where they come from, how they get here, what their level of experience is. D'Amico has talked about this. I mean, he enjoys coaching the rookies and seeing the rookies grow and develop more than coaching veterans. So, we're not opposed to playing anybody. So, rookie, 10th-year player, doesn't really matter who you are. If you're the best player, if you're the best option, and you've earned the opportunity with your performance, you're going to play. So, there's no guardrails. So, we go into it, we kind of start from scratch, we'll evaluate how the players perform with their opportunities, and then we'll put the players on the field that have earned that right. So just because they were drafted where they were drafted doesn't really matter. It's all about your performance, but we're not opposed to putting young players on the field as soon as they're ready, and we've shown that.
I'm looking at Kamari Lassiter and Cade Stover specifically. Kamari Lassiter because of the competition over there opposite Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
And Cade Stover just because I think there is an opportunity for him to get on the field with Dalton Schultz being the main guy. But after that, I mean, why couldn't he necessarily be interchangeable with a Brevin Jordan or just have a different type of role?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also looking at the rest of them guys, Lopez.
Yeah.
Blake Fisher, if things aren't right with, say, Titus Howard, or if there's a snag with Laremy Tunsil. Kalen Bullock, I've mentioned before. I could definitely see the rookies playing a big role in this team, man.
Well, they referenced it right there, you know, talking about how D'Amico likes coaching the rookies even possibly more than veterans, et cetera. But, like, everybody talks that game. You know, hey, it's about competition. Everybody's got the same chance. And the reality is that's oftentimes not true. Rookies, especially highly drafted rookies, always have an edge because the general manager drafted him and the head coach signed off on it, and they want that player to succeed. But it is true here. And the reason that you have to believe what Nick Caserio was saying right there is they have too much on the line to start playing all these games about, like, he's a second-round pick and this or that, a first-round pick. Although I know, you know, that's not what we're talking about here. But, no, they are going to do that. And you talk about Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock. Cade Stover has been the most intriguing one to me. I've watched just a little bit of what their 11-on-11, 7-on-7 was at the end. And he was in the mix. I mean, it's up to him now. It's in the mix. But they are not. This is not a team that's just lip service when it comes to that.
100% as we play the hits here on In the Loop. Also, man, when we talked to Will Anderson earlier, y'all can go check that out on the Odyssey app on our YouTube page. Talked to Will Anderson earlier on in the hour. Dude, he mentioned a name that I had not given any thought to.
Oh, yeah.
So two names. One name we've given a lot of thought to. One name is probably the most famous in all of Houston sports in J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
He breathed some life into that in the anticipation
Boy,
that maybe J.J. Watt
Boy,
could come
he.
Back. So there's the name that we all know. There's the headliner. And then the not so much of a headliner, but to me it's kind of a hit because Will Anderson said it. was Mario Edwards. Like, we talk about the interior.
We call him Rio.
Rio around here.
He was calling him Rio.
I was like, when he said Rio, I had to think about that.
Like, who is this cat?
But he kept talking, and then it was evident to me, and I had to let you heard me clarify.
Yeah, like, oh, Mario Edwards.
I was like, hey, we're talking about Mario Edwards, by the way, just so you know. Like, Rio, I mean, not Mario Chalmers, or, like, I don't know who your face, Super Mario, Mario from R&B back in the mid-2000s. Like, I don't know what Mario or what Rio we were necessarily thinking of.
Yeah.
But Mario Edwards is somebody who could be like a, like, anything more than an afterthought is not something that I had just really considered much until we heard Will Anderson. But that, to me, is why it's important to talk to the players and hear, hey, who are you a fan? We know who we are watching, the storylines that we're talking about, but who are you a fan of when you're out there watching football?
Look, that kind of set me back a little bit as well.
Rio, huh?
It doesn't mean nothing.
I don't think it does.
It doesn't mean nothing.
Like, maybe he just likes the guy.
Yeah, but he's just talking about the leadership and the things he's doing. And look, this is the first day of practice, no pads. But the things that they've done to this point and where he fits in, and hey,
well, man. They've had OTAs in mini camps. They've been around each other.
Exactly.
So it's not like it's his first time seeing them at all. That was interesting to me.
Yeah, so we're sitting here, you know, talking about, obviously, DeNico Autry, and then Fadakasi's inside. Tim Settles came inside. All of a sudden, you know, he's bringing up Mario Rio. He's bringing up Rio, so that's going to be one to watch for sure.
Yeah, another hit, and this almost goes without saying since we were out here at Texans training camp today, but I just want to mention it, and hopefully we can hear a little bit of it later on in the show, and if not, man, we got all week to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But C.J. Stroud talked today, and Lopez, one of the things I feel like all of us were looking forward to was coming out here and seeing what it's like when it's C.J. Stroud's show.
Yeah.
When it's C.J. Stroud's team, it's not like it was last year where it was this hope and anticipation of this rookie quarterback that you just drafted number two overall, and you want to see what that's going to look like eventually. No, now you know what it looks like. And not only do we know, obviously the players know, the team knows, and they're out here knowing, hey, this is our leader. This is the guy that we rally behind. Nick Caserio, I thought, downplayed how much C.J. Stroud's success as a rookie last year went into the team building thought process, but I think that part is pretty obvious as well. Hey, we've got an elite, or it's something that looks like an elite quarterback on his rookie deal, and we were able to find that out after year one. Let's go all in and get expensive players like Daniil Hunter, like Stephon Diggs, and let's pay Nico Collins, and let's freaking go try to win the damn Super Bowl.
Look, he's been the story of the offseason, the biggest story of the offseason. You'll hear him today or very soon. But the big takeaway from him, from what he said, was, you know, some of the things we've talked about. He wants to take more ownership of the offense, which, of course, stands to reason, and you got to love. The other thing he said was all the things that he still wants to work on. And I found it interesting because I'm going to transition that to what we saw on the field today. Like, early on when he came out here and they were just doing the quarterback drills, started with running backs, then went to the receivers. There was a lot of coaching going on, which there always is. I don't mean to be, you know, trite or stupid about that, but like very small technical things, which is something that Nick Caserio referenced as well, with some of the technique that he works on in the offseason and all that. So that's the little thing. The big thing that we saw is Joe Mixon out of the backfield and the absolute dimes that C.J. Stroud was throwing. And then we got our first hint of all three of the receivers with C.J. Stroud, and it was something to watch. No tackling, but it was something to watch. Tank Dell coming out of those breaks, like, I think as good, if not better, than any point last year. You know, we sat down at the start of the show, and he threw just a beautiful ball perfectly to Stephon Diggs, and I'm like, oh, look, C.J. Stroud to Stephon Diggs. I could get used to that. It's the way he's taking leadership. It's the things he still wants to improve on, taking ownership of the offense, and then the things we always see on the field. All of that is going to make C.J. Stroud better.
Lopez, I am stuck on and cannot stop thinking about the conflict that the Texans offense can put opposing defenses in with, just dream with me for a second, the idea of Tank Dell and Nico Collins deep. Stephon Diggs, Dalton Schultz, short and intermediate. Cade Stover and whatever that looks like, Joe Mixon as a dynamic pass catcher out of the backfield, and oh, by the way, C.J. Stroud as the decision maker.
Yeah.
Man, I like to me, so the defense is in conflict because of the weapons, but we trust C.J. Stroud as the decision maker to decide which is the best conflict, which is the best way to attack the defense with all of these nothing but really good options. I mean, I'm praying for health, man, because the only thing that could really derail this Texan season, and I'm not just saying Super Bowl. There are Super Bowl aspirations. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, and I'm not afraid to use that word, to use that term right here at training camp to be saying, hey, we're talking Super Bowl, a Super Bowl type of contending team. I think that this is. The only thing that I think can ruin that would be injuries. But for me, man, as we talk about C.J. Stroud, just the conflict that they are going to put defenses in with those weapons and that guy being the decision maker is fascinating to me,
Lopez.
And
the commitment that he has to, like as we just talked about, ownership of the offense, which I translate as, you know, being able to do more on the field without cues necessarily from Bobby Slowick or whomever. And I also translate into, like, this is a guy that the confidence has never been a problem, but also that hunger to be able to say, yeah, I'm – to be able to not say I'm the guy. You know, he still wants to be even better.
So I'm curious if you picked up on this from D'Amico Ryans as we play the hits here on In the Loop. And I'm going to shout out the 832 on the text line because they texted in, and I thought it at the time, too. I'm going to bring it up to you now, Lopez, because you are, between the two of us here on the show, the resident Titus Howard skeptic. I'm a little bit more bullish on Titus Howard than you are. But neither of us can deny that this is an important time for him, an important moment. We'll all acknowledge that. From the 832 says, what stood out to me was D'Amico on Titus. He said he's glad to see him out there and healthy, of course, and competing. And didn't say much more than that. Obviously, Laremy Tunsil is out here, but we know he's not competing at all.
Yeah.
He's out here, you know, getting his body right and, you know, just, you know, doing his rehab kind of off to the side. But the different ways in which he talked about Laremy Tunsil, who again is not even necessarily in uniform with the group,
medicine ball right now,
versus Titus Howard, who is, that stood out to me to say, hey, who's he competing with? Competing against Will Anderson, competing against D'Nico Autry, competing against Danielle Hunter, but more so to me, and he didn't say this, but this is what I read into it, and I think the texter as well, more so competing with whatever's behind him, whether that be Charlie Heck or the rookie Blake Fisher.
This is how I interpreted that. That's a message to Titus.
I think so.
That is a message to Titus. We ain't giving you nothing. You know, we ain't giving you nothing.
You figure he knows that?
He knows it.
He's got to know that.
But when you go public with it like that, you know, I think it's just everything they say, they know that is going to be out there. And, you know, people are going to react to it. Players are going to hear it, et cetera. Like that's D'Amico Ryans telling us in a roundabout way, everything you guys said, we've told him. Yeah. He might have been hurt, had the hand, had the knee, all that stuff. We might have confidence in him. We might even pencil him in. In fact, they will as the starter. But we ain't giving him nothing.
Yeah, we could be reading too much into it, but I think this is going back to your logic point. Yeah. Like, some things are just logic. Yeah. They drafted a dude at his position in the second round.
Yeah. We ain't giving him nothing.
And he didn't play his position last year, whether that's the fault of the organization itself for putting him at guard, or maybe, you know, they lost confidence in him at that position, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get some more insight into it and find out more about it as we go on in training camp and see what things look like out here on the field, as we are out here on the field in the loop. More from Texans training camp next on Sports Radio 610.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Not a bigger hit out here than Texans training camp. In the Loop, broadcasting live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. And you heard from Nick Caserio earlier in the day, heard from him in the previous segment. One of the things that really stood out to me, Lopez, that he said, and we knew this already or know this already about the Texans. Hell, it was evidence last year by the way they threw C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson out there, had Tank Dell out there balling for him, the rookies. I am anticipating, Lopez, rookie contributions, rookies out here contributing to this team. It is not as heralded a rookie class because there isn't a first-round pick, but we talked a lot about Kamari Lassiter, talked a lot about the opportunity he's got. I'm bullish on Kalen Bullock. We've got Cade Stover out there. So, look, the rookie class is exciting. Nick Caserio this morning was asked exactly about that, the opportunity that the rookies have out here at training camp.
No, it's a great opportunity for them. So, honestly, we don't care where they come from, how they get here, what their level of experience is. D'Amico has talked about this. I mean, he enjoys coaching the rookies and seeing the rookies grow and develop more than coaching veterans. So, we're not opposed to playing anybody. So, rookie, 10th-year player, doesn't really matter who you are. If you're the best player, if you're the best option, and you've earned the opportunity with your performance, you're going to play. So, there's no guardrails. So, we go into it. We kind of start from scratch. We'll evaluate how the players perform with their opportunities, and then we'll put the players on the field that have earned that right. So just because they were drafted where they were drafted doesn't really matter. It's all about your performance. But we're not opposed to putting young players on the field as soon as they're ready, and we've shown that.
I'm looking at Kamari Lassiter and Cade Stover specifically. Kamari Lassiter because of the competition over there opposite Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
And Cade Stover just because I think there is an opportunity for him to get on the field with Dalton Schultz being the main guy. But after that, I mean, why couldn't he necessarily be interchangeable with a Brevin Jordan or just have a different type of role?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also looking at the rest of them guys, Lopez.
Yeah.
Blake Fisher, if things aren't right with, say, Titus Howard, or if there's a snag with Laremy Tunsil. Kalen Bullock, I've mentioned before. I could definitely see the rookies playing a big role in this team, man.
Well, they referenced it right there, you know, talking about how D'Amico likes coaching the rookies even possibly more than veterans, et cetera. But, like, everybody talks that game. You know, hey, it's about competition. Everybody's got the same chance. And the reality is that's oftentimes not true. Rookies, especially highly drafted rookies, always have an edge because the general manager drafted him and the head coach signed off on it, and they want that player to succeed. But it is true here. And the reason that you have to believe what Nick Caserio was saying right there is they have too much on the line to start playing all these games about, like, he's a second-round pick and this or that, a first-round pick, although I know, you know, that's not what we're talking about here. But, no, they are going to do that. And you talk about Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock. Cade Stover has been the most intriguing one to me. I've watched just a little bit of what their 11-on-11, 7-on-7 was at the end. And he was in the mix. I mean, it's up to him now. It's in the mix. But they are not. This is not a team that's just lip service when it comes to that.
100% as we play the hits here on In the Loop. Also, man, when we talked to Will Anderson earlier, and y'all can go check that out on the Odyssey app on our YouTube page. Talked to Will Anderson earlier on in the hour. Dude, he mentioned a name that I had not given any thought to.
Oh, yeah.
So two names. One name we've given a lot of thought to. One name is probably the most famous in all of Houston sports in J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
He breathed some life into that in the anticipation
Boy,
that maybe J.J. Watt could come back. So there's the name that we all know. There's the headliner. And then the not so much of a headliner, but to me is kind of a hit because Will Anderson said it, was Mario Edwards. Like, we talk about the interior.
We call him Rio.
Rio around here.
He was calling him Rio.
I was like, when he said Rio, I had to think about that.
Like, who is this cat?
But he kept talking, and then it was evident to me, and I had to, you heard me clarify.
Yeah, like, oh, Mario Edwards.
I was like, hey, we're talking about Mario Edwards, by the way, just so you know. Like, Rio, I mean, not Mario Chalmers, or, like, I don't know who your face, Super Mario, Mario from R&B back in the mid-2000s. Like, I don't know what Mario or what Rio we were necessarily thinking of.
Yeah.
But Mario Edwards is somebody who could be like a, like, anything more than an afterthought is not something that I had just really considered much until we heard Will Anderson. But that to me is why it's important to talk to the players.
Yeah.
And hear, hey, who are you a fan? We know who we are watching.
Yeah.
The storylines that we're talking about. But who are you a fan of when you're out there watching football?
Look, that kind of set me back a little bit as well.
Rio, huh?
It doesn't mean nothing.
I don't think it does.
It doesn't mean nothing.
Like, maybe he just likes the guy.
Yeah, but he's just talking about the leadership and the things he's doing. And look, they just did the first day of practice, no pads. But the things that they've done to this point and where he fits in. And, hey,
well, man. They've had OTAs and mini camps. They've been around each other.
Exactly.
So it's not like it's his first time seeing them at all. That was interesting to me.
Yeah, so we're sitting here, you know, talking about, obviously, Danico Autry, and then Fadakasi's inside. Tim Settles came inside. All of a sudden, you know, he's bringing up Mario Rio. He's bringing up Rio, so that's going to be one to watch for sure.
Yeah, another hit, and this almost goes without saying since we were out here at Texans training camp today, but I just want to mention it, and hopefully we can hear a little bit of it later on in the show, and if not, man, we got all week to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But C.J. Stroud talked today, and Lopez, one of the things I feel like all of us were looking forward to was coming out here and seeing what it's like when it's C.J. Stroud's show.
Yeah,
when it's C.J. Stroud's team, it's not like it was last year where it was this hope and anticipation of this rookie quarterback that you just drafted number two overall, and you want to see what that's going to look like eventually. No, now you know what it looks like. And not only do we know, obviously the players know, the team knows, and they're out here knowing, hey, this is our leader. This is the guy that we rally behind. Nick Caserio, I thought, downplayed how much C.J. Stroud's success as a rookie last year went into the team building thought process, but I think that that part is pretty obvious as well. Hey, we've got an elite, or it's something that looks like an elite quarterback on his rookie deal, and we were able to find that out after year one. Let's go all in and get expensive players like Danielle Hunter, like Stephon Diggs, and let's pay Nico Collins, and let's freaking go try to win the damn Super Bowl.
Look, he's been the story of the offseason, the biggest story of the offseason. You'll hear him today or very soon. But the big takeaway from him, from what he said, was, you know, some of the things we've talked about. He wants to take more ownership of the offense, which, of course, stands to reason, and you got to love. The other thing he said was all the things that he still wants to work on. And I found it interesting because I'm going to transition that to what we saw on the field today. Like early on when he came out here and they were just doing the quarterback drills, started with running backs, then went to the receivers. There was a lot of coaching going on, which there always is. I don't mean to be, you know, trite or stupid about that, but like very small technical things, which is something that Nick Caserio referenced as well, with some of the technique that he works on in the offseason and all that. So that's the little thing. The big thing that we saw is Joe Mixon out of the backfield and the absolute dimes that C.J. Stroud was throwing. And then we got our first hint of all three of the receivers with C.J. Stroud, and it was something to watch. No tackling, but it was something to watch. Tank Dell coming out of those breaks, like, I think as good, if not better, than any point last year. You know, we sat down at the start of the show, and he threw just a beautiful ball perfectly to Stephon Diggs. And I'm like, oh, look, C.J. Stroud to Stephon Diggs. I could get used to that. It's the way he's taking leadership. It's the things he still wants to improve on, taking ownership of the offense, and then the things we always see on the field. All of that is going to make C.J. Stroud better.
Lopez, I am stuck on and cannot stop thinking about the conflict that the Texans offense can put opposing defenses in with, just dream with me for a second, the idea of Tank Dell and Nico Collins deep. Stephon Diggs, Dalton Schultz, shortened intermediate, Cade Stover, and whatever that looks like, Joe Mixon as a dynamic pass catcher out of the backfield, and, oh, by the way, C.J. Stroud as the decision maker.
Yeah.
Man, I like to me, so the defense is in conflict because of the weapons, but we trust C.J. Stroud as the decision maker to decide – which is the best conflict? Which is the best way to attack the defense with all of these nothing but really good options? I mean, I'm praying for health, man, because the only thing that could really derail this Texan season, and I'm not just saying Super Bowl. There are Super Bowl aspirations. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, and I'm not afraid to use that word, to use that term right here at training camp to be saying, hey, we're talking Super Bowl, a Super Bowl type of contending team. I think that this is. The only thing that I think can ruin that would be injuries. But for me, man, as we talk about C.J. Stroud, just the conflict that they are going to put defenses in with those weapons, and that guy being the decision maker is fascinating to me.
And the commitment that he has to, like as we just talked about, ownership of the offense, which I translate as, you know, being able to do more on the field without cues necessarily from Bobby Slowick or whomever. And I also translate into, like, this is a guy that the confidence has never been a problem, but also that hunger to be able to say, yeah, I'm, to be able to not say I'm the guy. You know, he still wants to be even better.
So I'm curious if you picked up on this from D'Amico Ryans as we play the hits here on In the Loop. And I'm going to shout out the 832 on the text line because they texted in, and I thought it at the time, too. I'm going to bring it up to you now, Lopez, because you are, between the two of us here on the show, the resident Titus Howard skeptic. I'm a little bit more bullish on Titus Howard than you are. But neither of us can deny that this is an important time for him, an important moment. We'll all acknowledge that. From the 832 says, what stood out to me was D'Amico on Titus. He said he's glad to see him out there and healthy, of course, and competing, and didn't say much more than that. Obviously, Laremy Tunsil is out here, but we know he's not competing at all.
Yeah.
He's out here, you know, getting his body right and, you know, just, you know, doing his rehab kind of off to the side. But the different ways in which he talked about Laremy Tunsil, who again is not even necessarily in uniform with the group,
a medicine ball right now,
versus Titus Howard, who is, that stood out to me to say, hey, who's he competing with? Competing against Will Anderson, competing against D'Nico Autry, competing against Danielle Hunter, but more so to me, and he didn't say this, but this is what I read into it, and I think the texter as well, more so competing with whatever's behind him, whether that be Charlie Heck or the rookie Blake Fisher.
This is how I interpreted that. That's a message to Titus.
I think so.
That is a message to Titus. We ain't giving you nothing. We ain't giving you nothing.
You figure knows that?
He
got to know that.
But when you go public with it like that, you know, I think it's just everything they say, they know that is going to be out there, and, you know, people are going to react to it, players are going to hear it, et cetera. Like that's D'Amico Ryans telling us in a roundabout way, everything you guys said, we've told him. Yeah. He might have been hurt, had the hand, had the knee, all that stuff. We might have confidence in him. We might even pencil him in. In fact, they will, as the starter. But we ain't giving him nothing.
Yeah, we could be reading too much into it, but I think this, going back to your logic point, like some things are just logic. Yeah. They drafted a dude at his position in the second round.
Yeah. We ain't giving him nothing.
And he didn't play his position last year, whether that's the fault of the organization itself for putting him at guard, or maybe, you know, they lost confidence in him at that position, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get some more insight into it and find out more about it as we go on in training camp and see what things look like out here on the field. As we are out here on the field, In the Loop, more from Texans training camp next on Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.